To stay on top in business, stay on top of your technology with the new Business Desk podcast, The Business of Tech. Listen on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean, the weekend edition. First, yesterday's news. I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Sunday and Saturday, not the month and a half that I've been away. Don't worry. Mind you, has there been much happening? I don't know. We've missed much, have we? And by we, I mean me. The Warriors captain joins us to discuss the forthcoming season. The author of The Subtle Art of Not Giving a You Know What is back on the station as well. And Elisa Zaleth, formerly of The Naked and the Famous, is she less naked and less famous or more? We'll find out at the end of the podcast. We probably won't, actually. It's not a stupid question. I don't know why I said that. Before any of that, oh yes, that's right, a whole new Prime Minister thing. Yeah.
Peter, quite the political explosion with Jacinda resigning. Has this been a smooth process, given what you know goes on behind the scenes?
I think it's been remarkably smooth. I think that everything's gone very much to plan. The Labour Party's got, from its point of view, the best possible outcome, an uncontested leadership, a Prime Minister-elect, able to nominate a Deputy Prime Minister, clearly Grant Robertson happy to step aside from the role. Look, I think in the circumstances, if they'd been told this time last week you're going to have a leadership issue by the end of the week, I don't think they could have wished for a better outcome.
Mm. Kane, in terms of going for the deputy, there were quite a few strong contenders there, Nanaia Mahuta, Pene Hanari as well. Would this have been an easy choice for Prime Minister Hipkins to make?
I actually think that this would have been a difficult choice, but not for negative reasons. I think there are lots of opportunities in the caucus to identify talent and to promote them forward. I think the selection he made is a robust one and a sensible one when you think about the nature of the work that the party wants to take on between now and the election in October. So, again, no doubt a tricky thing to try and manage, but I think, as Peter said before, if they were looking for the best of all possible results, I think this was the one.
Okay, so generally positive. Is that what we're feeling about this? I guess the poll results will tell us. Francesca Rudkin will tell us, obviously.
And considering her reputation around the world, I'm sure the offers won't be far away. But running New Zealand, with all the challenges it faces heading into 2023, is not a job that can be done on an empty tank. It is not a job you can quietly quit. The Prime Minister's resignation does put the Labour Party in a difficult position, whether you agree with her policies or politics or not. Jacinda Ardern is a very good communicator and leader. The party has a tough year ahead as the election looms and we hold them account for their performance and their delivery over the last couple of terms. Whoever tries to fill Ardern's shoes won't have an easy time of it. Should she have called a snap election? Some believe so. We will have a Prime Minister we didn't vote for, and you see how that played out in the UK. Aware that whoever takes over the role cannot be seen as a caretaker PM, Ardern has opted to give a new leader time to cement themselves into the role and to give them a fighting chance to have made their mark by 14 October. While the decision to resign is unexpected, the Labour Party will want to give off the impression they are united and calm in the face of it all. That said, I still believe Ardern has made the right decision for us, for her family and for herself. Her move might even be the best thing for the Labour Party. The Prime Minister's resignation is a reminder we've all been through some tough years and there's nothing wrong with taking time to fill up the tank. It's a message we should all take on in 2023.
Okay, so it's not just that she doesn't want to be in charge of a sinking ship. Because that's what everybody I've talked to about it has thought. I've obviously got that wrong. I'm in the invidious position, of course, of working on the breakfast show here at News Talk ZB for a week before Mike Hoskin gets back. And then Mike Hoskin gets back next week. And then I'll have to hear his reaction to it all over again. It's like you get a little practice run-up at it.
Anyway, let's put that to one side because it's not the election's not the only thing happening this year. This could be the Warriors' year, to quote Mark Oxing.
How much are you looking forward to captaining this Warriors side in what I guess you could call a normal season?
Yeah, no. First of all, thanks for having me. But it's pretty exciting to be honest. It's a huge honour to be given that role, especially with the guys who have held that position before me. So to be able to do it on our own home soil and our first full year back after a long time away, it's a pretty special thought. It's one that I don't want to take for granted and want to make the most of. So here's to having a good year and hopefully I can do my part in that.
How challenging, Tohu, have the last three seasons been based in Australia?
it's been pretty challenging. And to be honest, we sort of didn't realise how challenging it was until we came home for those homecoming games and spending the week at home for one game made a huge difference to the morale and to how we all felt as a group and individually as well. So to be back home full time and has been outstanding.
He does know that they're not going to get to play every game at home, right? It'll only be about half of them. I really hope he knows that. Otherwise, he's going to be so disappointed. Now, the bloke who wrote the book about not giving I don't even think I'm allowed to say that in podcasts. Well, not in this podcast, anyway. It's not that kind of a podcast. But anyway, you know the book I mean. Anyway, there's a movie coming out, apparently, and he's making it.
For those who might not be familiar, not one of the millions of people who have read the book, can you talk us why you did write the book?
I wanted to write a self-help book about pain and suffering and the inevitable bleakness of life.
The name might not mean what people think it does. It's not about caring about anything at all, is it?
No, the title of the book, I often call it a Trojan horse. It's the idea is to kind of trick people. You know, somebody's walking through the airport and they're like, oh man, I wish I didn't give such an F about this or that. And then they pick up the book and then they get about 10 pages into it and discover it's about values and priorities. And they're like, oh, I have to care about something. So it's a book about prioritizing your life, figuring out what is worth focusing on, what's not worth focusing on, what's worth caring about and what's not worth caring about.
See, I've always made that as easy on myself as possible by not caring about anything at all. Then there's no decision to be made. You don't have to prioritize anything because nothing's very important. If I got that wrong, I've got a lot of stuff wrong already. It's only the first podcast of the year and I've basically got 80% of it wrong so far. Let's see if we can talk to the former singer of The Naked and the Famous and see if she's getting it wrong or right, going solo.
How has your summer been?
Oh my gosh, I feel so good. It's been, I think, technically 4 years since I've properly had time home in New Zealand. That entire time I was in LA because I couldn't come back here without paying like an exorbitant fee for the quarantine hotels on top of flight. And I was pretty gutted. I didn't get to see my family for a while, but got plenty of time in this Christmas break.
So how long have you been back in New Zealand for? How long is this little
I think
trip
this is
for?
I'm on week 4 right now.
Oh, lovely.
I've just been swimming and traveling up north and with my partner. I went to Cape Reinga and, yeah, morning sunrise swims. Just really, like, every time I come home to New Zealand, it grounds me like no other place in the world. And I've been to a fair few places. And, like, New Zealand is just, like, such a special place. It's home, you know? Yeah. So it feels really good to be here. My brother and his wife, they had a baby, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That catching up. And so many people have had that experience.
Yeah.
And I imagine that you were like so many other artists who were all ready to go. I know that you just released an album before the pandemic hit. You had a year worth of touring and plans ahead of you.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And then someone just pulls the rug out from underneath your feet. It still feels a little hard to believe, even...
Yeah.
Even after all this time,
no,
what happened?
It felt really absurd because Tom and I, on that last album, Recover, that was the hardest record for us to make. We were just at odds with each other more than we were on the same page. And it took a lot of mental gymnastics for us to be like, all right, we're going to finish this, you know? And we're like, hey, well, you know, once we get out of this process, hopefully touring and playing these songs live will kind of reinvigorate these songs that we labored over and argued over tooth and nail over everything, every detail. And that just didn't happen. So I remember, you know, when I got back to LA, our manager called a band meeting. He said, all right, you know, everybody's going to take a break and take some time off. But like, what do you guys think about making another Naked and Famous record during this time? And I just burst into tears.
Oh, there you go. So there's a nice, happy, upbeat way to start the year. Bursting into tears. The only way is up. I'll see you back here again with another New Thoughts You've Been tomorrow. Don't cry. You only have to wait a day, not 5 or 6 weeks. So, that's good. I'm Glenn ZB. We'll see you then.